Hi everyone, welcome to Intuitive Awakening. Thank you for joining me for this week's episode. We have a lovely guest today. Jodi Reed is joining us, and Jodi is a professional psychic medium. She's a healer and former healthcare professional with nearly 30 years in the medical field. Through her work and her platform, she helps others reconnect with their loved ones in spirit and rediscover their inner peace. Jodi's mission is to raise collective consciousness, blending heart, humor, and healing in every message that she delivers. Her passion lies in uniting audiences through live readings that uplift, inspire, and remind us that, of course, love never dies. Thank you for joining us today, Jodi.
Thank you, Deanna. Thank you. I'm excited.
I'm so glad to have you here. I'm very interested in your transition from being in the medical field for 30 years and to doing mediumship work. What triggered you to make that change?
To be honest, I think it started way back when I was younger. It's something I always had within me, like a calling through moments throughout my life from childhood to teen years. And I think becoming a mom at 20, I kind of shoved that aside. I knew I wanted to help people. So what do? We go into the medical field. So I went into the medical field when I was 20. And I mean, I love helping people heal, being a part of that. But there was still this inner calling for something more. And I was always interested in alternative wellness. Anything to do with energy healing that really kind of lit me up. And I had books upon books. And I think I just kind of shoved it aside just to be mom, to be honest. So, but there was always that little inside me where it was like, I'm not satisfied. I'm just not satisfied. And then I think with life, when your purpose is calling you, it'll always find another path for you to come back to it. So I ended up doing a little side job kind of on the way to the hospital, and it was inserting IVs for this wellness center that was doing alternative healing through intravenous laser therapy. And that kind of just brought it all back. I'm like, okay, I can't stay at the hospital. I can't continue to do this. So I think that's kind of what ignited it. And then finally, I got to the point where it was like, I have to answer this call. It was like such a deep pull. And it was like, I sold my house. I put everything into this wellness center. And it was like, here I go. I'm taking the leap. I just did it. I said, I can't not answer this. There's something to this.
So, did you open up your own wellness center or partner with an existing one?
So I opened up my own and I invited a friend of mine from the hospital who we connected. And this is what I mean about universe, God, whatever you believe in. I believe in God. So I never push my beliefs on anybody. So it's like insert what feels right for you. I believe they line us up with the people we're supposed to take the journey with. So we ended up opening Calm Surrender is what I called it. I got this download, and it actually came from one of Elton John's songs as I was driving. It was part of the chorus, and I was like, "Oh my God, that's the name." And fast forward a little bit, I let the store go, and I found out that the name of the store was actually a message that you do need to surrender to spirit to have that connection. So yeah, so from the store, and we had crystals and we had healing and all of that, but mediumship kind of took the lead, and it was just like, I gotta keep going with this. This just seemed to take over everything else, and it was that satisfying feeling. It was like, yeah, this is what I'm supposed to be doing.
So I would ask you this one question. I think sometimes, or people who are potentially listening, they do kind of feel like that inner call to make a change in a different direction, yet there is an enormous amount of concern, hesitancy, and fear given. Sometimes I think, going into the unknown, there's a lack of security. So I guess I'm interested in how did you feel secure in that unknown space to do something that was I mean, it's still in the well, you know, it's still wellness to a certain degree, but it's different.
And I'm going to be very honest with you. I didn't. I couldn't ignore the fact that the calling was so strong. And to be honest, Deanna, I thought, oh, you want to know what? I'm a survivor. The worst thing that's going to happen is I'm going to go find another job in medical somewhere. So I'm like, I can't not do this. I can't not just suppress what I feel is such this strong urge. I have to listen. And I thought, and there were moments where it was like, what am I doing? What am I doing? And then it was like, nope, I'm gonna go. And I would just, continue to talk myself through it. Or maybe it was my guides that were saying, the worst thing that could happen is you go back to medical. And I mean, I didn't hate medical by any means. So there's always a way, I think. So we have to listen sometimes.
Definitely. And what was the transition from wellness, even though I do think mediumship is a part of wellness, what was the transition from doing, that type of work and shifting over into speaking to the deceased?
So when I first stepped out, it was more into the Ayurvedic Indian head massage and Reiki. So I started that way. I knew I wanted to do energy healing, and I knew there was magic to this. I knew this was working because I had read like Dr. Joe Dispenza, and like, I mean, this was my library. This is what I was into even in my younger years. Like, this pulled me. So I knew there was evidence that it worked. And that was the other thing. I had to have results. I couldn't go in without that. And I knew enough throughout my teen years and how much I had read and researched that there is something to this. And so yeah, I started with the Ayurvedic Indian head massage and did the Reiki. And I gotta tell you, Deanna, I did certificate after certificate because I wasn't sure where I was going. But when I was doing my sessions, I started to see images and I always had that feeling. I think people who are drawn to this are empaths, born empaths, you know what I mean? So I had feelings around them too. And of course, Deanna, our ego gets in the way and we're like, no, I can't say that, I might be wrong, right? But then sometimes it's that very thing that kind of blocks our intuition. So the people that I felt comfortable with, I'd be like, are you okay if I shared something with you? And they're like, yeah. So I did, and they resonated. And I'm like, okay, there's something to this. So still not quite confident with it, I decided that I'd continue the massage, but then I would add with a divine message. I didn't even call it mediumship at that time. A divine message. Would you be open to that? And people always chose the divine message. It was nothing I charged addition to or anything. It was like, would you be open? Everybody chose a divine message. So I had lots of practice. And then I realized it was developing into mediumship because I was now connecting with people's loved ones because I was able to describe, like, maybe how they passed, or their personality, or who they were, what their relationship was to them, maybe something they left behind for that person, or they were showing me real evidence. So then it was like, oh, this, I love this. I love this. So it continued to grow from there.
And I guess when you saw somebody's, relatives who had passed on, I guess I'm really interested in the types of messages that they wanted to share. Like, was there kind of like a common theme? Was it, contributing to the healing of the person that you were performing Reiki on? By any chance, or
Yes, and yes. So, my intention, I think, in setting an intention for your connection is really important. And when I did start to do this, when I really opened up to it, I had set a universal intention. And I said, if I'm going to do this, I want to be able to give real validation, so connection to loved ones on the other side, so they understand it's their loved one. And I want to, help them see that love continues, like there's just energy and it just transforms, that we still remain connected. I want to help people heal from any sort of past traumas or maybe something that they're holding within themselves that keeps them from moving into their best life. So it was the same thing for everybody, the same intention. So I did see a pattern. So it was like a family member would come through. Maybe dad is on the other side, and dad shows me he was sick before he passed. He shows me breathing issues and/or heart issues. It's almost like sudden to my passing. He wasn't sick for a long time. And then they would show me maybe something that I left behind. Oh, dad shows me you got his watch. And you know what I mean? Like validations to make them see and heal. Like it was always for healing too. And I mean, that's ultimately what I always desired to do, was to help people heal.
And how did people initially respond? Did you, I mean, you said people chose a divine message, but what was their actual response when it's the message is about somebody who is not here physically anymore?
Emotion. Usually lots of emotion, but it was the emotion in the sense that it was almost like, oh my God, I'm still connected. And they started to feel the love again. So when we cry in a reading, it's almost like we're feeling them again. It's like missing them, but feeling them at the same time. We miss their physical presence. We just have to get used to communicating with them in a different way.
What have been some of the most interesting things that the other side, like communicating with those who have passed, that they've showed you that were, I guess, maybe unexpected?
There's been a number, that's for sure. And I'm so humble. Like I feel so grateful to be a part of their voice. I never take it for granted, but I will share one story. I was going to do a small group reading of 40 people at this restaurant. It was kind of like a dinner and a show. And I sometimes get spirit drop in before I go to do shows, like they come ahead of time. So I got this gentleman and he said, "You have to go find blue flowers." And I'm like, "Ooh, I what? Blue flowers?" And I told my spouse, I'm like, "I have to go find blue flowers for this man." And he's like, "Jody, it's February. We're in Canada. It's cold. Where are you going to find blue flowers?" I said, "I don't know, but I know I'm going to be able to." So right across from the venue was this little grocery store that had a small section of flowers in it. And I walked in, and in the refrigerator part, there was a bunch of different bouquets and one bouquet of blue roses. And I went, "There we go." I still, Deanna, didn't know why I was getting them. I got to be honest. I'm like, I'm just following orders here. So I took them with me. We went to the venue. And before I started the actual reading, I said, "I have to ask, who's connected to the blue flowers?" And like it was silence. I was like, "Oh my God." Like, but I've gotten to the point in my life where I stand by what spirit shows me. I may not get the interpretation right exactly sometimes, and then they'll come back and say, "Hey, you said." But I was so confident in these blue flowers that I'm like, "Nope, sorry guys, cannot move on. There is somebody." And this little older lady put up her hand, and I said, "Ma'am, may I ask you how you're connected to the blue flowers?" And she said, "I went, Jody, out this morning to get blue flowers for my husband's headstone. And I couldn't find blue flowers. I found white." And she didn't say anything else. I turned around, grabbed the flowers, passed them to her. And I said, "Your husband says happy anniversary." She started to cry and she said, "Our anniversary was yesterday." Yeah. So, I mean, you just have to trust. And that is the biggest key. So, the store name, Calm Surrender, was really a message. It was never just a title. So just surrender to the messages.
Yeah, that's definitely a beautiful message. And, I think people might be a little bit curious. So, you do like platform mediumship, right? What has that been like for you? I mean, I imagine definitely has to be nervous, nerve-wracking to get up in front of a large group of people and, try to deliver these messages. What was that? What was the shift like from doing maybe private, reading messages all the way to larger groups?
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely a different energy. And I knew I wanted to do it, but you're right. The nerves were there. We're human, right? And it was like, how am I going to decipher who's for who? And like, I can imagine there's going to be a lot of spirits come through. But again, it's like spirit says, we only need you to show up. Let us do the work. So I did. I definitely was shaky, but excited. So when I first did it, it just flowed. It was amazing. Sometimes I would walk up to the person where I was drawn to and I would know what to say. Sometimes I would describe somebody and they would take the message. And this is how it just kind of moved around. The beautiful thing about it was how it not only reunited people from the other side to their loved ones, but it united the people within the room. It was so beautiful. And then it was like an addiction. I'm like, oh, I love platform. And I love the way it does that for people.
Yeah. So with these spiritual changes in your life, how did your family respond?
Good question. Interesting, I would say. I grew up, my dad was Catholic, but we grew up as, Christians, and you weren't really supposed to do that. Like you weren't supposed to talk to the other side, and not in that sense. Like God, angels, okay, but maybe not your loved ones, which never made sense to me until I heard Janet Nahovek, who was a Catholic nun. I don't know if you know Janet Nahovek, but
I do.
Catholic nun who turned medium, and she had said in one of her interviews. So you're saying it's okay to talk to God and angels, but it's not okay to talk to our loved ones who we cherish so much and we love. And it was like, oh my gosh, that makes so much sense. So I think for the most of it, it was very supportive. They were like, really? Are you really getting that? Or like they were curious. Dad had passed, so it wasn't so much I had to show dad. It was more showing mom, my sisters, and my children. The children part were interesting. And my daughter was a little bit embarrassed, even because I had, at the beginning, you had these explosive moments where it was like you didn't know how to control it. And they were coming out when we were shopping. And it was like, oh, do you mind if I go ask that guy if he's okay if I give him a message? And my daughter, like, cover her face, like, Mom, no. But yeah, now they've gotten to the point where it's like, hey, Mom, my friend's really going through, or Mom, her dad, her grandfather passed. Can you? So I kind of get bringing comfort now. They've accepted it.
That's great that they have accepted
Yeah.
this big change. But I mean, I think it's great for people to be aware that what you're doing is helping people to remember that, this isn't all of life. This is just an experience and that we continue on. And I think
Yeah.
just knowing that is so helpful as a human, that this is not the end all
Absolutely.
be all.
And it is no, not at all. It's just a blip, an experience, really. And the thing is that I found literally thousands of readings I've done now that it's all the same. They want to help us. Even in cases where they weren't great here, like maybe dads or moms or who weren't the best role models here, now want to support their children. It's like, I can be a better mom and I can be a better dad. Let me show you, let me find the way. And they will, like, they want to help us. They like jobs on the other side. And it's just incredible that, when we truly surrender and say, okay, I'm just really letting go of this worry, and I'm going to put it on you. And if you really surrender, you'll notice that these beautiful synchronicities happen. All of a sudden, you get the job, or, you find the perfect house or the spouse, or when you really let go. When you really trust.
How would you recommend someone who would like to make or reconnect with, I don't know, their grandmother or somebody that has passed? Like, what are some of the initial steps to make that reconnection?
I think what we do it all day. Like, I think we miss the signs because We so want it to be the way it was when they were here. So we end up missing all the small synchronicities. So, I mean, speak to them, first of all. Speak to them, let them know that you're open, and then be open to the way they send signs. So it's very common that they'll speak to you through music. It's not a coincidence that a certain song plays, and it's almost like they answered your question, or maybe it was, they related to that song. I always tell my sitters too that if you think you're thinking of them, you're really channeling their energy. So they're in your, they're there. It's not you just thinking of them, it's them communicating. And if you get really quiet, you can hear them answer. And again, you're going to push your ego out of the way and say, this is not my ego. This is not me answering. This is really them. And you can almost hear their voice and what they would sound like.
So, what I think people might be curious, what are your loved ones doing on the other side? What are they actually doing?
I always say, imagine living the best day of your life every single day. It's utopia without the heavy emotion. We come here to experience this. At least this is my view, Deanna. We come here to experience this so we can grow spiritually. And there we have, we're all part of one consciousness. This is the way I see it. Like an ocean, we're but drops of part of that. You know what I mean? And that's why we remain connected too. We always have that energetic connection. So if somebody loved, say, golf here, they can golf all day long, but imagine it being just perfect. So you come here to experience the imperfection. Do you know what I mean? So if somebody had maybe a leg trauma here and it stopped them from doing what they wanted to do, there they get to do it all day long. And it's everything is just perfect. So that's why we do come here to grow. We can't grow unless we know the opposite of what we're experiencing. But it's utopia for them.
I think we would all love that right now. Okay, sign us up.
Not too soon, Deanna, not
So many people, and I know we've been talking about this, but if you ask people what their main fear is, I think a majority of people would say, I'm afraid of to die. I'm scared
soon.
of what that is. And I wonder if anybody has ever asked you that, what happens when we pass? Like, I'm very afraid of what, awaits me, even though we, just discussed it as being utopia. People are genuinely scared of transitioning or of not knowing. I mean, it's the unknown. At least
Absolutely.
we don't remember.
And what I understand, when people transition, let's start with first tragically or unexpected. And our human self starts to think, oh my God, they can you imagine the fear and the suffering they must have had? But what I understand is just before that actual impact or whatever it is happens, we're extracted. So our soul is taken from the body. And how I understand it from many of spirits that I've talked to, it's just like slipping into a warm bath. It's like this overwhelming peace and comfort and warmth that I felt. And this is what I've gotten from the other people, because there's so many people who have come to me, especially people who have lost children. And it's like they have comfort. It's peaceful. It's imagine somebody being in pain all the time, and then all of a sudden it's just gone. How good you would feel. You know what I mean? I don't think we can capture here what it's like there, the vibration. Like we couldn't possibly know. But imagine having the best day of your life. You feel good, you feel healthy, you're breathing well, you're having the best day of your life, but multiply that infinity. Like it's really such an extreme. So the actual transition when it happens, It's not like birth. It's like an awakening. So birth, I would think, is more painful coming in, not just for the mother, but sometimes for the soul as well. But going back, it's like very comforting, like slipping into a warm bath, no matter how it happens. So even when somebody has like they're breathing near the end, and I can't talk to you near the end, and I'm so sorry, you're talking to them, you're holding their hand, and you're really hoping that they're hearing you. They do, but they're already pretty much on the other side. So their body continues to breathe, but they're no longer suffering, even though it looks like the body's suffering. Most times they're standing with you, comforting you while you hold them.
What has you were raised Catholic, you said, correct?
Dad was Catholic, but we were Christian. Like we were, yeah.
So what has your relationship, I hope this is not an odd question, changed with quote unquote God or your beliefs about God ever since you've done this work? What was it like
If
before?
anything,
And what is it like now? Like, what's your interpretation of God, source, whatever you want to call it?
yeah, I guess it has changed, but in a very amazing way. So when you're brought up through religion, we're taught that, don't do those things, God will be mad, and you gotta, you know what I mean? That it sounds almost like a vengeful or angry God. But what I've learned, he's not. He's not. Or, and I say he because I don't know how else, because we're not sure. So I'm just using he as an example. So I feel that it's not that at all. He's very loving. It's like we give you free will. So we need you to learn, we need you to express. And it's not even about, I don't even have to forgive you because you came here to learn. And even in extreme cases, and that gets into a whole other conversation, but it's true. We come here to learn. So anything, I feel like more loving and more supportive. And they're always there. And oh, I just got shivers. There were so many times when we say, God, universe, whatever you believe in. I'll just use God because it's what I believe in. God, help me, show me, show me. I'm so stuck. Show me. And I feel like he's not answering. And it's like you get almost frustrated. It's like, don't I matter? Don't I, blah, blah, blah. And then life goes on. And had he have answered what you thought was good for you in the time, it was actually, he was actually setting you up for something greater. And I think if you looked at your life, it's the truth. If you look back and go, okay, now I see why that happened. Oh, I get it now. I get it. And I don't think any moment in our life, Deanna, is wasted. I think every moment is used to help us grow. And then when we do get to what we're supposed to be doing, that is used as well. So everything we've ever done in our lives is very instrumental to what we do now, or when you get to your purpose.
And I think, for some people, it's difficult for them to conceive of this. Well, again, we'll use the word God or this divine intelligence in a way that is ultimately unconditionally loving, ultimately forgiving, all of these things because of what happens here on the earth, because of what you bear witness to. Because of what you experience, some things out of your control. I think it's very difficult for people to believe that something like that could be possible, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. And I think we're so conditioned. We're so conditioned to believe that. You know what I mean? It's hard to think outside of that. We're so structured. And I think that's where we lose our connection as well, our intuition, because we have been suppressed. We have been, like through our religion, through our upbringing, through education, through everything. I think it just kind of takes away from that. Our logic, our ego gets in the way of our intuition. But I would love to normalize or help assist to normalize mediumship. I wish, Deanna, they taught us that when we came here, it was but an experience. And then when we left, it was a celebration because they were going on to pure. Imagine it's like a graduation of, oh my gosh, I finally got there. It's like, oh my gosh, it's my prize. It's my ever anything you could imagine. You just kind of think it and it's there. Like it's that. And I do think we have a little bit of that ability here, but we're so we it's been so removed from us. And I'm seeing a shift happen and people are coming back to it. People want that connection again.
I definitely think people are hungry for something that feels genuine and sacred. Because I think, I don't know, this is probably my own opinion, but I think that there's not a lot of things that are sacred anymore. And people miss that because I think that divine connection is sacred and everybody has it. So it's not like it's, you know, it can be coveted. We all have it, but it's the remembrance of it. And like you said, with the conditioning, it is so difficult. It can be difficult to make that leap and to have that level of trust that you are being supported, even though it may not look like it, even though it may be hell for a while. You know, you don't see what's happening behind the curtains. But yes, I do think that has been lost for a long time. Not trying to generalize for everybody, but when you were
No.
speaking about, you know, when you transition home, it being the celebration, well, there are some cultures on the planet that do celebrate, you know, when somebody passes because in their belief system, they know that they are continuing on their journey in a very beautiful way. And they're there to
Very.
celebrate the life that they had versus other cultures where, you know, it's very, very different. It's almost like you put the nail in the coffin and you're finished.
And that's almost sad, you know? And it's I mean, I'm human too. I'm gonna cry if I lose somebody that is very dear to me. Probably cry on a TV show too, but I mean, that's just part of being human. We're supposed to experience that. So, but I do believe we can still stay in tune. I think we can still find our way back to the communication. I just feel like there's a massive shift happening, and we're all evolving in a big way. I think we're all leveling up, so to speak, for lack of a better description, I guess, to what we do have. We have this the ability to communicate.
Why do you think, so I've heard this from so many people, and I have to ask this question. Why do you think there is this shift happening on Earth at this time?
I have these crazy visions sometimes, and I never really speak of them, but I will kind of try to explain it.
Sure.
It's almost like this path to evolution. So once you evolve to a certain point and you can't evolve anymore, like, you know what I mean? I think we're evolving. I think we're really evolving. And it's like we evolve. If you think of us as, okay, here's life. And then we evolve to spirit because we pass away. And then there's another level of maybe an angelic realm. And then we keep going until we're just pure consciousness, pure light, pure. And I feel like a lot of the world is leveling, like evolving. So will it still exist? Will it still exist the way we know it? I don't think so.
Do you mean as a planet or dimension wherein there is duality?
Yes, exactly. As a planet, like I just feel like, is it almost like dissolving and we're becoming just that pure light, if for lack of a better description, pure source, pure. Yeah, I and I still haven't found the words. I can see it. I can't articulate it. You know what I mean? And I don't know. I'm not saying I'm right. I'm just saying I just see a lot more people who never had faith in something and now have faith, and a lot more people who never believe. Do you know how many skeptics I get come to me? I'm like, wow, this is just incredible. And then people who never experienced mediumship before, I'm like, holy. And there's so many opening up to it. So there is something within them that says there's more to life than this. Like, we're bigger than this.
So as we move along, like this evolutionary stage of consciousness, like we're making a leap, what role do you think, how can I ask this question? Do you think that the role of the earth or Gaia is also shifting into a new level of consciousness, since it also has its own.
I think I never thought of it, to be honest, but I think it would have to. Yes, because it's energy as well. I think it would have to. What that would look like, I'm not sure. It'll be interesting to see.
I'm definitely curious about this because I've had this conversation with other people. And, it's a lot of people for quite some time. It seems like this, this shift has been gradually increasing for like 20 years,
Yes,
like
absolutely.
incrementally. And I wonder, like, okay, let's say that there is some huge shift where the planet or this dimension, that's probably the best way of putting it, no longer is one where there is this contrast of light and dark. Therefore, it has a whole new level of consciousness, and therefore, it no longer embodies the dark aspect. Maybe souls then incarnate here for something, a totally different experience, and go somewhere else for that experience. I don't know. I'm just speaking. I have no
Yes.
idea, but
Deanna,
maybe.
you gave me shivers. So usually that's my way of validating with spirit. It was like, oh yeah, yes, you're onto something. Yes, it's a different level of consciousness. Now we don't have to be quite so, I don't know. I was going to say grounded, but we kind of want to be when we're reading, but do you know what I mean? Or
Against,
earthbound, I guess. I
I
don't know.
guess.
But no, when you said that, it was like, oh, yes, exactly. I have to agree.
Yes, it's certainly wild to think about because I was also talking to somebody about this the other day. And, I study ancient history. And when you study ancient history, you're forced to look at all the previous civilizations that have risen to their pinnacle, their evolutionary stage, and then there's always a collapse for some sort of reason, whether it's technology that contributes to a collapse, whether it's the environment, which is always like the biggest trigger, unfortunately, that contributes to the collapse, so on and so forth. You see this pattern that's cyclical all throughout the known history, at least what we can see in the dirt. And I think about this because this happens to every civilization, and ours will not be exempt. So I think about how does that work? How do I rectify knowing that with this evolution of consciousness? Will the patterns change here? I don't know.
I think it has to. I think it has to, right?
I would like to think, but I also remember we are human. I would
Yes,
like to
and
have
that's
more
what
hope.
blocks us, right? That logic, that egoic response to all of this. And but yeah, if you can let go of it when we are speaking to our loved ones or our guides. I always talk about our loved ones a lot because I feel like they are our guides too, right? And that's where my base is. That's where I get my information. But it's exactly that. Just kind of like put the ego aside and just sit and trust. Maybe we can get answers on that. Maybe we could get some answers.
Yes. So I have a question about transitioning. So once you transition, and I don't know if you can answer this, once you have like passed on and then you're in quote unquote the afterlife, do you remember everything? Do you remember, I mean, do you remember like all your quote unquote previous lives that you've experienced or embodiments that you've had? Everything, like, does all of that come back very quickly? Does it take time for that to be downloaded in your spirit? What does that look like if you know?
Yeah, and I mean, I have my opinion and like my experiences. So if you took the soul and you had multiple spirits from that soul, and each spirit had a life and took on a memory, okay? So I feel like there's this, maybe we'll call it the Akashic Records. Maybe our soul is the book in the Akashic Records, but the soul retains all of those experiences. And it's interesting because it comes up to, well, if you believe in reincarnation, and if mom reincarnated, does that mean I don't get to talk to her anymore? Not true. The soul is there. The spirit of her would still exist always for you. So the spirit is almost like the personality that they would take on in this lifetime. So you always have access to her. Where the soul would then, like maybe another branch of experience, and it all comes back as a memory in the, I'll say Akashic Records. I don't know if that makes sense.
No, that completely makes sense. I think that's super helpful for people because, again, I think there's so much. I mean, I know we're here to have a physical experience and enjoy like all the bounty of the earth, so on and so forth. And there's a variety of experiences, but of course, we're naturally inquisitive creatures, and we want to know what's happening parallel to here. Like what's going on over there, and what is that experience like? Am I going to be the same me? Is my personality going to be the same? I think we have those questions.
I think yes, I think we do, like the spirit of this lifetime still, yeah, because they come to us. I think they're still people, right? So mom comes to us and she describes herself. And or maybe says, I know you have grandma's dishes, and I know you were looking at them the other day. So, like, I mean, yes, they retain all that information, and they are, if they were funny, they bring that through as well. So I think you carry on who you truly are. Do you know what I mean? But then you look at, and I don't have the answer for that because, of course, then my brain goes, well, what about the people who weren't so good here? Do they go and they're mean over there? No, I don't believe so. Because I believe they came here to express that, to learn. But I think ultimately you go back and go, oh, that was awful, or that was. The best way I could describe it to help people heal, and I've done this before, even with my son. Oh my gosh. So my son's father and I aren't together, and we haven't been for a long time. And I always brought my children up to believe that we do choose our life experiences. We choose our parents, we choose every encounter. My son is 5 at the time. And we're stopped at a light in the mornings, like 6 a.m. I'm going to work. I'm dropping him off at daycare. Out of the blue, he says, Mom, you know how you said we get to pick our parents? And I said, yes. And he said, well, was my dad the only one left?
Oh no. Oh God. Poor thing.
I
Oh
had to. I had to pull over because I laughed so hard. But from that, I go, for the sake of healing, when people don't treat us nicely here, I think we have this agreement. It's like, okay, you're going to come. You're going to be like this terrible person. I'm going to get to experience that. You're going to go on to do that to somebody else. And then you're going to be affected because you saw it happen. Do you know what I mean? And it's going to help us grow in this manner. I don't know if that's just my way of thinking to make it okay here.
I think I am in agreement. I think the one thing that I learned from spirit over and over is that everybody has their role to play. I get told this all the time when I'm dealing with somebody that's frustrating or pissing me off, or you see crazy people running the government, right? Like I always put mine in like they came here to play that role for the purposes of blah bitty, blah blah blah. I'm like, okay, sure.
We'll accept
Yes.
it.
All right. So it is. So before we leave, I'm very curious, what is one of the most important things you feel like you've learned in communicating with spirit?
That love is the answer. Love is healing, and love never ends. It is the strongest bond we have. And when you experience that here in this lifetime with people, and when they graduate, when they go on, it does not end there. It's very physical still. You can feel it.
Yes, I agree. And similarly, my guide will always say, you know, love is the cure, always.
Always. It's true.
I hate when he's right. So,
Yeah.
anyway.
I'm allowed to be mad. I'm down here experiencing this. You're
Yes.
not.
Yes. I'm like, wait till your turn. I'll be in the wings.
That's right.
Thank you, Jody,
Exactly.
so much for being here. I am so excited that you came. And if people want to connect with you, where can they find you?
Yeah, thank you, Deanna. It's been a pleasure. I have a website, jodyreedmedium.ca, and then, of course, on Instagram and Facebook, Jody Reed Psychic Medium.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Jody. And thank you, everybody, for listening. Have a great week ahead. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye now.